I want to speak to you in the 43rd chapter, in particular, verse number 9, where Judah said, I will be surety for him. Would you bow before we read and hopefully have the Lord help in speaking to you? Our Father, it is in all of us to grow cold and indifferent. We can go for some time taking for granted the Lord Jesus, the great work that you, the Trinity, has done in our salvation. Sometimes we're so earthly minded that we have difficulty in just the spiritual thought. My Father, help. Help that we might hear as longing children waiting for their Redeemer, their friend, their husband, fix us, Lord, so that these things might have a preeminent place in our minds and in our hearts. I pray that you might give these hearing ears and understanding hearts. I pray for clarity in speaking. I pray for wisdom. I ask you for the Spirit of God that you promised, not only the Spirit, but wisdom to any who ask. Let us not meet in vain. Let us not sit here and casually hear and become a forgetful hearer. My Lord, would you do that for us? These things wherein thou, Lord God, would be exalted and thy Son honored. For in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Now all of you are very familiar with the history here of Joseph. He's down in Egypt. He is the Lord of the land. His brothers have met him down there, though they did not know him. And they come back with food. But Joseph put this stipulation upon them. You cannot see my face. Don't come back down here expecting food, except you bring your youngest brother with you. Now in verse number 36 or 42, chapter 42, and Jacob Their father said unto them, Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Now, as you go through the history of Jacob, after he met the Lord, he wrestled with the Lord, and obtained victory, you will see the interchanging of his name, Jacob, then sometimes Israel. Well, that's our nature also. We have the old man that we must deal with, and then the new creation of God within. And after Jacob met the Lord and told him his name would be Israel, as a prince thou hast power with God, or God prevails, is another meaning of the word Israel. I'm going to call your name no more Jacob, but Israel. But as you go through the scripture, I know on two different occasions after that the Lord has said to him, your name will not be any more Jacob, but it'll be God, it'll be Israel. How quickly we lose the work of God within and can't get rid of our old nature. You can read where the life of different men and women have been written. Very dedicated saints. The greatest of men and women recorded in Scripture and in the history of the church. You see them all having lost their identity as a child of God and their old nature as a child of Adam takes over. So Jacob and Israel dwell in the same frame. There will be times in Jacob's life where that newborn nature will be stronger than his old nature. We'll see that in chapter 43. In the midst of all his turmoil, Israel finally prevails, and he said, okay, if it must be, you take your younger brother and you go down and you get food for us. But in chapter 42, he said, Jacob, verse 36, their father said. Now Simeon comes on the, I'm sorry, Reuben comes on the scene here, and he spake to his father in verse 37, saying, slay my two sons. It's hard to believe that a man would put his children in his place. But Reuben did. He offered to bring Benjamin back with him, but he never put himself in the place of the youngest brother. He offered his sons instead of himself. And his offer got no further than the words coming out of his mouth. They fell on Jacob's ears, but he knew. He says later on, when he called all of them to him on his deathbed, and he started off with Reuben the oldest, and he said, "You are as unstable as water. I can't have any confidence in anything you say. Your words calm no one. You cannot be trusted." Have you ever had somebody speak to you, or different ones speak to you, about the Lord? And you knew all the time, as Solomon said, there, the legs of a lame man are not equal. So is the parable in the mouth of fools. Jacob said, "Not going to be. I can't trust you. Your words are empty and in vain." Now you get to chapter 43. Where Jacob keeps on saying, "You got to go get us food." And Judah, in verse number 8, "And Judah said unto Israel," that new nature within has been calmed when Judah began his conversation with Jacob. "And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones." Now listen to his words here. "I will be surety." It'll be on my account. "Put me in his place if I don't bring him back to you." He didn't offer his children. He didn't offer anything but himself. And when Judah spoke, the new nature of Jacob was calmed within, and Israel took control of him. And verse number 11, "And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels, and carry down the man." Now there's particular emphasis that we should note here. Pharaoh has one under him that is in charge of everything. He is the ruler of the world. When folk came to Pharaoh and said, "We're hungry," he said, "Go to Jacob. He's in charge of everything." But when Jacob, Pharaoh said, "Go to Joseph." All right, got that. Now Jacob said, "You carry the man. We're going to see if we can touch his heart." And he didn't put him in that high position, but he let Judah know, though he's a ruler, he's still a man. "And you carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take your money with you." Keep your place here, and turn with me to the 49th chapter. Genesis 49. At verse 8, I'll begin. Now this is Jacob. Look at verse 1. Jacob called to his sons. Verse number 2, he's talking, gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob. That's all I could give you, was my old nature. Couldn't do anything about you ever obtaining a new nature. Hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. I speak now as telling you from the Lord about you and about your future. In verse number 8 now, Judah, this is Israel talking, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter, branch, the offshoot, or the tribe. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. You're going to be the tribe out of the boys here, all the other boys, that the Messiah is brought into the world through your lineage. And you go to Matthew 1, and it begins with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. That is he whose it is. I'll put Judah in charge. He'll be the branch. He'll be head of the tribe. He'll be the offshoot of Abraham, from which the Son of God will be brought into the world as the Son of Man. Shiloh will come, that which belongs to him. Not Judah, not Abraham, or not Isaac, or Jacob, but Jesus. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You see how far back even his grandfather saw the day of Christ. And yet when Christ is on the scene, Israel, the nation, did not know him. Now back to 43. Take double money. Money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carried again in your hand, peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your brother and Benjamin, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So Israel sent with Judah Benjamin to buy food for his house. Go down. But when the boys get here the second time, the governor, and I'm amazed at the wisdom of Joseph in so few years that he's been on the earth. But the governor of the land, instead of identifying himself and saying he was glad to see them, he brought guilt upon all of them. Before you get to heaven, before you ever get any bread, before you ever meet the greater Joseph, you will be found guilty here. You and I are guilty of trespassing against God, of living for self, of only concerned about me. Until God shows you that, you're not going to heaven. And so Joseph, in wisdom given from God, he brought guilt upon all of them. And the one Judah was surety for was the one that seemingly stole from the Lord of the land his cup. Joseph has been kind. He's treated us well. And here's my younger brother stealing his cup. So you and I have robbed God. We've robbed God of His honor. We've robbed God of His glory. It's my life. I will pursue my interest. Take care of heaven and eternity later on. The one Judah was a surety for is the one that committed such a crime, seemingly the one that committed such an offense, and now has put Judah in this spot. And he talks with Joseph. He said, the first time, the older brother Reuben said, God had found out the iniquity of us all. And now, he who was surety stands before the man, the Lord of the land. He said, don't put the lad in prison. Put me there. Turn over to chapter 44 now. Still, Judah is talking to Joseph. Verse 27 and following, he tells him about his father, about how the father thinks that Joseph was torn in pieces by a wild beast. Now verse number 30. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. He's the last son that he's got from his true love. My dad, my father, is all bound up. His life is bound in that lad's life. And if I go back and I don't have Benjamin with us, then I'm going to bring down those old gray hairs of my father to the grave. Verse 32 now, for thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, let me be the bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Folks, if any of you have ever or had a friend or an acquaintance in a desperate situation, he's lost his job, his family's without food, not having a job, he can't get credit, and you make an express promise to be responsible for his debts, you entered into suretyship. If he buys and won't ever be able to pay, you just put his account in my name. I'll see that it's paid. And you, to the banker or to the store that he's wanting to get credit from to buy food, you stand in his place. Only Benjamin was assigned to go to prison. But the Lord of the land had no intention of ever locking him up in jail. That's why he had his cup placed in that lad's sack, to make him guilty, to see if his brothers had truly repented of the crime they did to him because of jealousy. Remember, he's always giving more to the younger one. See if his brothers are still like they were when they sold me, wanted to slay me. But Simeon talked them out of it. He didn't intend on putting Joseph Benjamin in prison. He just laid guilt where guilt belonged without ever saying a word. And he did it also to bring out the suretyship. He did not know which one until Judas said, "I told my father that I'd be surety for him." Lord, let all these go. Put me in prison and I'll serve you. You and I were found guilty one day. If you're a child of God, you came into the world, you had but one purpose in life, my life, I'll choose. You would be debtor to no one, not even the Lord of glory. But he, in the lineage of Judah, stood before a holy God, and as our surety, before God, he said, "You put their charge on, their account on me. Charge me, my God, and let these go." And God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Romans 8, "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, because he stood in my place." The Lord looseneth the prisoners, Psalm 146. Now, when we go before God and we say, "Forgive us our debts," we're asking a holy God to do that which he cannot do. God cannot forgive sin unless the surety stood in my place, took my debts and put it on his account. And then he takes his righteousness and his standing before God and puts that on my account. And God didn't forgive me, but He charged Jesus guilty. Now, folks, just a minute, and I don't want to dwell too much on this, but here's where the majority in the evangelical circles are today. They teach that Jesus paid the debt for everyone. And this they cannot explain. If God held His Son responsible for all, why does God have a hell? Why consign those, some of those of Adam's race, why consign them to hell if your Son paid the price? If Jesus was surety, as Judah entered into suretyship for one man, and he went down there with one purpose, to bring that one that he stood in his place, get him back home, and get the family food. He went to get bread for the family of Jacob. All his sons and his grandchildren and his daughter and daughter-in-laws. Now, if Jesus was surety for everybody, then you've got to admit one of two things. That He didn't have the power to bring about what His death purchased for some. He intended on them being in glory, or you either got to put it on man that man wouldn't let him perish the thought of both. You don't have the power or the ability to stand in front of God and take credit or give blame. I'm going to hell because you sent me there. They're not even going to blame Christ because He didn't die for them. No, I can't put that together now. I don't know. But I know this. At the third night, when that old stone of that tomb was rolled away, Jesus went back to glory. Oh, He'll still be on earth for some time. But He ascended that the sins and iniquities and backslidings and backbitings and failures and missteps and mishaps, He by His blood forgave all. Judah came back with Benjamin. He came back with Simeon, and He came back with the grandest news of all. Joseph is alive. And that angel said to those women, "He is not here, He's risen." And he, in God, before God, paid for my transgressions if I'm a child. When Judah got Simeon out of prison, the Egyptian jails were not emptied. He got one man out. And when Jesus died and rose again, He didn't get everybody out of prison. He got his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Don't discredit the work of our Lord and say, well, man, so powerful, he wouldn't let God save, or he's in hell because of that. Sure, he's in hell because he would not hear, he would not bow, he would not. And in the end, when everything, when the summation of all is done, those in glory are there, not because they had a stronger will and could choose to be there. They're there because our surety ship went back to God saying, loose these, free them. Turn with me to one last place in John 18. John 18, verse number 8. Jesus answered, this is he's talking to the soldiers, I've told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Why? That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Jesus went back from the old prison bars down here, locked in a grave for 3 days and 3 nights. But he went back with the church to follow. Every single solitary one of them, of all that you've given me, I have lost none. John 17, those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them, not a one, is lost. I don't care what men preach. I don't care how they want to twist this and get his death and his love for everybody. Sure, when Christ died, when Christ came, then he bought back the world. But he didn't buy every single individual in the world. Or if you say he did, explain to me how he couldn't accomplish it. Of all those that thou gavest me, I've kept, and none of them is lost. Now, when one approaches God due to their sins, this God that cannot look, cannot blot out, cannot forgive, and we come saying, forgive. Jesus Christ stands before Almighty God and says, verily I am the guilty one. I stood in his place. I stood in her place. His sins have been forgiven. Let him go free. Loose him from this bondage of sin. Children, I'm better to keep the whole law, and if I break it in one point, I'm guilty of breaking it in its entirety. But again, the Lord stood guilty at the judgment of God in my place. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. You know, when they had crucified a man, they had nailed to the cross on whatever they wrote on why he was being put to death. That's what Paul said. Jesus, having nailed to his cross, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that should have been attached to my death, he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Children, the more you journey with the Lord in His Word and in life in His providence, the more the more you see of your depravity. And you wonder what's happened. You think that you are more sinful today than you were 10 years ago. Now, I'm just talking to you who are pursuing holiness. No one else. Striving to walk pleasing and honoring unto God. No one else. But to you who fit in that category, you're more guilty than you were 10 years ago. You ever looked up at the full moon and it seems to have more dark spots on it? You know what caused that? Well, nothing. They've been there all the time. Just more of the sun light is manifesting those dark spots. And you, standing at the judgment seat, no merit, nothing to offer God in your place, you must have He who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah stand there. Father, that one, folks, you think God's going to judge us as a church or as a group of people? One at a time. Father, that's your child. They've been striving to persevere. They've stayed somewhat steady in their walk. They daily sought you, prayer and scripture. Sure, my Father, they've made many wrong turns in life. And oft times they were filled with doubt, distress, perplexities within. And in this condition, they doubted your faithfulness. But that one's my sheep. I took all their sins at Calvary. I paid for them. There before God, you were in a place, you by yourself, you were in a place where those holy creatures would cover their face when they were flying before God and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." You standing there in such awe and glory and magnificence. And you would, if you could, fall on your face. But God stands you upright. And you know all those creatures, the highest of your creation that never sinned, did fly around about thee with their face covered. And I can't cover mine, Lord. And the greater surety steps in when that scene unfolds, you would be dissolved as salt on a snail. But you can't. And the surety, the one that was our surety, stands beside. Folk, you better have the Lord Jesus. And Job, then he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom for him. You're all better be tied up in Christ Jesus. And even when you bow down with such guilt and doubt, you still strive to see him seated at the right hand of God. And we hopefully can hear when we're there, be gracious. I was a ransom for him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. And there all of us have got to have the greater Judah. Oh, my soul. My Lord, keep me. Seen too many turn back. Seen too many quit. One day the law had life about it. I saw a commandment that I was to keep. I knew it was holy, just, and good. I should have labored more faithfully to keep it, but I've broken its precepts. I've trampled underfoot that you gave me to do. That which you gave for my good, I neglected, I abused, but in mercy, you have accounted his righteousness for my failures. If any of you take that to live like you want, do like you want, you don't know God. You don't think too much of my Lord. Had justice taken its way, forced its way, and had the sword of God's vengeance fallen on me and held me accountable, I couldn't complain at the judgment. I couldn't. But God, oh dear Lord, you said, awake, O sword, against my fellow. And you stood him in the place of your church. Now instead of dwelling on my sins, he bids me look to the value and to the worth and to the wonder of his death. What do you think of Jesus, folk? What is he to you? He is my only entrance into glory. And I have no difficulty when in great need running to him. Oh, the right of that one that stood in my place to do with me But because he did stand in my place, like you stood in the place of that man, his family was starving. Let his account be to me if he can't pay it. My sins on him. His being the surety for me should do two things. Seeing what a debt he paid for me. But I can't. But seeing such a depth in the mercy in God, you remember me reading, if you were paying attention and you were reading with me, my father's life is bound up in the life of that lad. You think our father's life wasn't bound up in the life of his son. But you know what he did? He put the church in the place of his son and crucified him. I ought to see what a debt, but I can't see fully that my surety paid. I know a lot. I know a lot of my sin, sinful condition, but he paid the whole. And then I ought to see such a depth of God's mercy in and through his son for me. And how great a love God and Christ had for this old rebel. Would to God that you could walk out of here with a thankful heart to the Lamb of God. It's been some time since you talked with him that you could get back. Bow your unworthy head in thanksgiving for him being a surety for you. It'd be a good day if you can do that. Timothy, you come.